Vi skal reise langt, langt, og lenger enn langt, faktisk helt til Argentina. Hei og hjertelig velkommen til en ny episode av Kjell Svinkjeller, og ikke minst Tom og Ratti Løvås sin podcast. I dag, Tom, så vi så heldige at vi har gjester, eller vi med gjester. Vi har gjester, for det vår podcast, så vi har gjester som kommer til langveis fra, faktisk helt fra Argentina. Så da må vi jo, da ble vi glad med en gang.
Ja, så det alltid gøy når folk kommer reiser jorda rundt for å snakke med oss om vin. Argentina jo sånt slags eventyrland for mange. Altså, det jo Andesfjellene, du har fotballspillere, han lille Tassen, han Maradona og sånn, som, ja, som var jo veldig sånn, flink en gang. Og, men de har jo vin også, masse vin. Og nå skal vi jo snakke om, vi kommer helt sikkert inn på det, for straks skal vi introdusere gjestene våre. Men jeg må nesten si at den hovedgjesten I kveld heter jo Malbec. Og det jo liksom nasjonaldruen I Argentina, ikke sant?
Malbec synes jeg helt fantastisk, faktisk. Så var det en kar her om dagen som gjerne ville teste argentinsk Malbec. Man tok kontakt, ville teste argentinsk Malbec I forskjellige høyder. For de har jo veldig høye vingårder. Ikke høye, at de høye hus, men det ligger høyt over havet. Faktisk nesten opp til 3000 meter. Så det nordmenn som veldig interessert I dette her. Og da, Tom, da må vi introdusere Malbec-ekspertene.
Det må vi, og vi begynner med damene først. Si kort hvem du og altså, vi har sagt du fra Sverige, men nå går vi på engelsk, og du skal fortelle hvem du og hvorfor du her.
Madeleine Stemlet heter jeg, and now I'm going to change into English, otherwise my colleague doesn't understand what I'm saying. so I'm a master of wine, I am Swedish, and I spend very little time in Sweden, because my work takes me all over the world. So I work as a consultant, freelance, all over the world. But my biggest passion from many, many years back is South Africa and Argentina. And Argentina became my focus when I did my thesis for the Master of Wine. In 2007, I started the thesis and I finished and won the award for the best thesis in the Master Wine Institute in 2008, and it was called The Effect of Altitude on Malbec in Mendoza. So you talked highly about Malbec before and Argentina and Mendoza. So I digested Malbec severely for like 2 years, and it was amazing.
And with us also today we have Francisco. Welcome.
Thank you very much.
You're the representative of the Domaine Bousquet, right?
I am the international business director for Domaine Bousquet for Argentina. For me, this is an amazing opportunity just to bring you more amazing, how you say, information about Argentina, our beautiful country that is really amazing.
Why is Malbec so important for Argentines? That's a big question, I know. because that's a flagship for your country.
Yes, totally agree. Because in general, when you know that the Malbec is the original origin is Franz Cahors, but due to our terroir, climate, high altitude, we can produce the best Malbec in the world. So this is the reason that is so important, because our terroir is amazing for the Malbecs, and this is the reason that. We have a lot of vineyards of Malbec, and we could export and to explain and to show to the country, to the world. No, before we drank everything in Argentina, but now we in the last 25 years all the export business from Malbec started. So now it's booming.
It is your most important grape.
Yeah, totally. It's around the 60% of the export for Argentina. This is the most important. Yes. Because it's unique as well. You can find Malbecs in other countries they are producing, but the highest quality you can find in Argentina.
What is your passion about Malbec? Because since you choose Argentina and South Africa for your thesis, I get Malbec is one of the drives for it.
Well, the thing is, South Africa was more like part of my passion, but I had to decide on one line, one direction when I did my thesis. And that was when I was a buyer for the monopoly in Sweden. And I traveled from the north of Argentina all the way down to the south. And everywhere I tasted Malbec, and it was so hugely different. And I could not get my head around why is the same variety showing so many different faces. So I started becoming interested in how can I figure out what makes it so different? And then I realized that there is one common thread through everything, and that was the altitude. So in the north, you would be finding vineyards all up to 3,000 meters above sea level. And then you come down to Mendoza, and you will be anywhere between 700 meters above sea level up to 1,500 meters. And then you go all the way down south to Patagonia, and you're suddenly on 300 meters above sea level. And everywhere, the face of the variety was just showing so much difference. And I thought, I need to figure out more about this. So that's when I started my investigation.
Is it an easy answer on altitude levels? What's the difference for a normal Norwegian or a Swede? Yep. Yeah. What's happened when you go from 300 meters to 3,000 meters is a big difference.
Well, the thing is, if you think of the variety came from Bordeaux as cuttings into Argentina before this famous louse called Phylloxera started destroying the vineyards in Bordeaux. So the variety ended up in Argentina as in its original shape. So it wasn't grafted onto the American rootstock, and it never really was in Argentina. But in Europe, it had to be. Otherwise, they would have lost, they couldn't replant unless they did it on the American rootstock. And if you go to where you will find Pure Malbec today in France, it will be Cahors. And Cahors, you get very tannic Malbec, very dark, very tannic, very concentrated, difficult to drink as a young wine. And it needs time in the barrel, it needs time in the bottle. And then people don't have the patience to age Malbec or age wine overall. They want to drink it now. They go to buy it now and they drink it tonight.
In Norway, it's only three hours from buying to drinking. We're really fast. Quickest one in the world.
But if you look at then Argentina, what is the difference if you compare Cahors, for example, with Argentina? Well, first of all, Cahors is also, I would say, they make the wines more traditionally. They extract a lot and they want to build the wine for aging. But when you get to Argentina, you suddenly have a very continental climate, but you have the altitude giving you the cooler days. And even if they are warm, they are cooler than further down at lower altitude. But then you have cold nights as well, and that retains beautiful acidity and it pushes the aromatics of the grape variety. So you get a lot of fragrance, and Malbec usually has a floral perfume called violets perfume. Violets and roses is something you very often relate to the Malbec, and that is pushed higher with that difference between day and nighttime temperature. So you retain freshness and you boom the aromatics. And then you have sunshine. You have more than 300 days, and I would say probably 320 days of sun per year in Mendoza. And so the sunshine creates a lot of color in the skins of the grapes, and it also creates a lot of tannin. But because of the sun and the extended hang time that you can have on the vine, because you have that cool nights and not so hot days, you get tannins that are really soft and lush and velvety. And people that want to drink red wine, if you would ask them, would you like something that is very firm and tannic and hard and edgy, or do you want something that is very silky and velvety and soft and round with lots of flavor and with beautiful aromatics? What do you think? Which one would you choose?
I know what I would choose.
Yeah, me too.
the thing is that now we've been talking all about this great grape hero of the moment, and Francesco, you brought some wine. We have to stop talking about it and try some, I think.
Yes, we have two wines here. We have a Domaine Busquet Malbec Merlot Organic. It's a bag-in-box 3 liters that we have in the shops, and also we have Gaia Malbec from Gualtallarí. So at this moment we can the both wine. The first one, the the Malbec Merlot Domaine Busquet is organic and is this is a pure expression of the Malbec. Yes, you can feel here drinking this Malbec, the expression of the variety. That is, in general, you can find a lot of violets, floral notes, the purple color. So this is the tannins in general. You can find always the tannins like a soft and sweet. The wine is totally dry, but it's very pleasant. It's an amazing expression of the Malbec.
The Bosquet family comes from South France, doesn't it?
Yes, 25 years ago.
Yeah, so you're running after the Malbec that came from France in the beginning, and then you're running after it and rediscover it in Argentina.
Yeah, this is the reason the father of Anne Busquet, the current owner of the wine, just came to from the south of France to Gualtallarí, that is a small sub-appellation in Mendoza, Uco Valley, because everybody knows Mendoza, but Mendoza has different regions. Luján de Cuyo or Uco Valley, and in Uco Valley you have Gualtallarí, that is considered one of the best small regions or appellations in Argentina, in Mendoza. So he started to plant vineyards there 25 years ago. We were the first organic because we believe in the organic and the sustainability wines. And now, yes, the idea is just to show you this with this Malbec Merlot, the pure expression of the Malbec. And this area that my friend Madeleine was explaining is perfect from the Malbecs due to the altitude and the climate difference between the night and the day.
Madeleine, could you take us through what are we tasting?
We have two wines on the table. So we have the bag-in-box, which is Malbec-dominated. So when Francisco is saying that it has the pure expression of Malbec, it still does, even if it has a touch of Merlot in it. The key to this wine is that it has that purity of fruit. It's not like it doesn't have that oaky character or anything. It's like fruit. And organic for me means very often that you get the expression of honesty. It's like everything comes as it is, and it's not. It feels like it hasn't been shoehorned into a corner. It comes as it is, as you would say. And then the Gaia, the one that is the pure Malbec from Gualtallarí. The thing is, it's quite complicated with Argentina. Because people know about Mendoza, but they hardly have heard about Uco Valley. And Uco Valley is the sub-region of Mendoza. So if you drive from the Mendoza city an hour and a half southwest, you come straight into the mountain. So you will go higher and higher and higher, and suddenly you see the snow in front of you instead of seeing the snow on the mountains upwards if you're in the city. So you're getting closer to this cold ice box, which is the Andes Mountains. And that is what cools down the temperature and makes it such a beautiful environment for growing grapes, but also to be able to grow organic. Because the thing is, this origin, they are in a rain shadow, but when the rain comes, it comes in the summer. And in the summer, you don't really want the rain. You want the rain rather in the winter, but they don't get the rain then. But the soils up here on such high altitude is so well drained. So even if it's a super rainstorm, the wine the water just drains through the soil, and it doesn't affect the climate in a negative way. And therefore, it's a kingdom of organic wine growing because of this soil type and the sun and the climate overall. So the wine, when it comes to the Gaia, it is from this sub-region of Gualtallarí, which has the best drained soils of all of the different areas. And it has the highest chalk or calcium carbonate content in the soil. And if you look around the world, most people talk about limestone in Burgundy. They talk about the limestone in Champagne or the calcare soils. And they talk about everywhere around the world where you have the best expressions of the grapes will be calcium content in the soil. And this Gualtallarí area, it's so full of chalk and limestone that it just gives an expression to the grapes there that is unbelievable. I am very amazed with how the fruit just shines from this place.
I think, Francesco, maybe
we can salute.
That was a real salute.
Yeah, that was a real salute.
What are we looking for here? Madeleine has talked us through the origin of the wine, but now the proof is in the pudding, or it's in the glass, actually. Well, what are we smelling and what are we tasting?
Yeah, in general, for the Gaia wine, is a little, it's a complex Malbec, because in first you are getting the grapes from this area, Gualtallarí, that is one of the best. So low yield, so much more fruit concentration. So, and also the freshness, the good acidity. So you can see very well the Malbec expression, but also the wine is aged in French oak. But just to give complexity, because the idea of the oak is just to use like a tool, not like the goal. The barrel is, the only goal is to get more complexity to the fruit, not to cover the fruit. So here you can see an amazing Malbec, very complex. The wine is aged around 12 months in French oak, first and second use. And the idea is this complexity of the Malbec, that you can find more layers in the wine. So this is, to be honest, it's an amazing. Also, this wine, Gaia, is organic and also biodynamic as well. Since 2022, this is a biodynamic wine as well.
It's the most healthy wine you can ever get.
I think the character that you really pick out that is different from many other wines is that perfume. When you talk about the roses and the violets, it's like the floral fragrance is so prominent. And when I talk about the aromatics, it's the daytime temperature and the cold nights, the difference between day and night is what creates a higher level of these aromatic compounds in the grape skins. And when you smell this wine, it's like, it jumps at your nose, but not with oak, not with makeup, not with synthetic aromas. It's like, it's the purity of the fruit and that fragrance. I'm like, it soaks you in. It's like, yep.
We also have a bag in box, and Sir Gabriel is going to pour us some thing from the box. And Sir Gabriel, it's bag in box is very highly in regard in Norway, and you know all the statistics about that.
Yeah, 65% of all the wines sold in Norway is from bag in box. We love the bag in box here in Norway, or the audience love it, and we drink it every day, the everyday wine. So this is a Malbec and Merlot mix, isn't it?
Yes, in general, it's 85% Malbec, 15% Merlot. It's mainly Malbec. It's a Malbec blend.
Did you have Norway as a particular market in mind when you blend this wine, or was it just your own imagination?
In Argentina, in general, you know, yes, it's Malbec, but also we have Merlot and we have other grapes, Cabernet, and this is, and you can, it's very normal also to find some blends in the red wines. So just we decided just a Malbec, the pure expression with a touch of Merlot, to give a little more personality to the wine.
But which country do you sell bag-in-boxes to?
Mainly here in the Nordic. I think this is the Nordics, and mainly in Norway, they are very proactive about the sustainability, organic, and these new alternative packagings. I think the world, some countries started to understand, but you are by far the more leaders in this new trend of the alternative packagings, bag-in-box, PET, pouches, that many other consumers can understand. Is they are more traditional with a typical bottle. Even we produce a light glass bottle because we have this focus on the sustainability, but they are more traditional. I think you are by far the... And I think it's an amazing packaging, amazing concept, the bag-in-box. I think it's very, very nice, and you can keep a very good quality as well, the wine. No?
I stopped listening when he said you're the leader. We're the best. That was stuff. Yeah, no, we are in front of that thing. And
Because you cannot find another country with this 60% of bag-in-box.
No.
Maybe I can Sweden.
Say, yeah, Sweden.
Bueno, yes. Yeah. I'm talking also in the Nordics as well.
Yeah.
Yes, but no, in other countries except the Nordics. Impossible, I can say you.
But that's also because we see bag-in-box. It doesn't mean that the wine inside is not good. In many countries, the bag-in-box is like the leftovers and the base of the pyramid.
Madeleine, how would you describe the quality of the wine after like 2-3-4 months inside the bag-in-box. And maybe this wine in particular, is it living well inside?
I think this one is showing well. I always think that with a bag-in-box, it's a good packaging, but I do see that it needs to be consumed within 8-9 months of being filled. And I think even if we say it keeps really well in the box, if you open it, it can stay for a long time. I do think don't keep it there too many months because it will go quicker than you think. But of course, if you pour a glass and you memorize the character and then you pour a glass in 2 weeks' time and you memorize the character, there will be a difference. The oxygen will definitely come in there, but it comes in with such small amounts that it's not going to make such a big difference to anyone who drinks the wine and don't analyze it into pieces. But if you would, I mean, I wouldn't keep it longer than a month opened. I don't think people do either, because if you buy a bag in box, it's because you want to have a glass every day,
oh,
right?
You're a master wine here. We have a Norwegian master wine that her thesis was bag in box. So the rules are you should not open a bag in box more than a year after package, and you can have it open for 8 weeks. Is the basic Norwegian knowledge of the bag in box. But do you bagging box or do you put it in bagging box in Argentina or do you ship it to Europe and make it here?
No, yes, we are bottling in Denmark because this is the concept also for the footprint carbon and to keep more sustainability. So not to bring from all these boxes. So the idea is to bottle here in Denmark and then to ship to Norway.
But the bottles you produce in Argentina?
Yes, the bottles, yes.
Danish are all over the place.
The traders. Them and the Dutch. Huh?
Yeah. They are doing their part. Hmm. We can't hold that against them.
No.
I was thinking, Kjell Gabriel, we have to run up soon. It's very interesting to listen to you guys, but we only have this amount of time and the day is turning darker every minute. To sum it up, Argentina, is it coming, growing in the Nordic countries, or is it just being there, or is it declining? What's your impression, Madeleine?
I would have hoped for many, many years that Argentina would grow in market share. But I think it's the wine style suits the Nordic consumer extremely well. The way the fruit shows itself with lots of flavor, round, soft, lush tannins, and the freshness from the high altitude. Everything suits the Nordic palate, but I think the Argentines have not been very good at marketing themselves. And also, I think in the past it used to be, you know, your Norwegian tax system punishes the one that has a little bit higher alcohol. And the warmer countries, the countries with a lot of sunshine, it's difficult to hold on like to the ripeness and say, okay, we must stop at 12% alcohol or 13% alcohol. So very often the alcohol level goes to 14 and maybe 14.5. And then you get punished here in this system. So you become more expensive. And I think what happens, we've seen quite a few vintages in Argentina that have been much cooler and there has been more rain. And you know, the alcohol level has been able to be kept down. The producers have had to pick the grapes earlier, which gives you more fruit, less need for using oak barrels. And when you get a little bit lower in alcohol, you have more juiciness, more attractive drinkability, and then you can also have a more favorable price because here you are punished for every half a degree of alcohol, which is the only country in the world, I think, that has that tax system. So therefore, I see that the Southern Hemisphere gets unfairly punished in the pricing system of the monopoly.
We have to send that along up in the system to the politicians and appeal to them to change that. Kjell Gabriel, I think we are running off, and I would like to just say something in Norwegian to our listeners. Og det vet du hva, argentinsk vin, dere, det helt kongen å seile når det kommer nå på på bag-in-box også, litt mer tilgjengelig, litt enklere å ta med på hytta kanskje, eller ja, i det hele tatt, men altså, ta utforsk litt det der sånn med høydeforskjell og hvordan ting er, ikke sant, Gabriel?
Ja, altså det nevnte jeg jo sted, at folk har tatt kontakt for å finne ut hvordan å smake de forskjellige høydene som Master of Wine her fra Sverige, og ikke minst Karlstad, sikkert Färjestad-entusiast kommer ut med her. Og det jo denne som vi har smakt i dag, Bosque Gaia Malbec 2021, koster 230 kroner, det må vi alltid nevne når vi, folk lurer på hva vi har smakt. Men Argentina kjempespennende, og så har de noe som heter biff, som de veldig, veldig, veldig gode på. Så skal du ha biff, så bør du ofte velge Argentina. Og så det litt sånn, det litt rimeligere enn mange av de ordentlig dyre franske biffvinene, og en bag-in-box til under 500 kroner også. Det ikke dumt, det vet du, Tom.
Absolutt ikke dumt. Nå har vi jo smakt den, og jeg kan jo bare si at, vet du hva, det her en immer kul vin, og ja, du nevnte jo så vidt biff. Jeg bare henger meg på den, jeg. Ørliten biff av den. So, just saying thank you very much to our guest.
Thank you for the support.
And for this very short half hour with concentrated knowledge. And thank you so much for participating. Jeg heter Tom Amirati Løvås fra Drinkfeed.
Kjell Gabriel Drinks fra Kjell Svinner. Svinkjeller heter det faktisk.
Vinkjenner, var det så? Du skryter på deg ting da.
Det lov å skryte på seg. Det snart helg. Det alltid snart helg. Ha det bra!